Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Z Fly, and you're now locked into the FLY Network. And for the next 2 hours, I'm dishing you the 311 on some of the juiciest topics around. So sit back, keep it real hot and fresh, cause it's gonna be good. Understood?
Another Sunday night, keeping it real hot and fresh with you, only on the FLY Radio. Y'all know how it is. Y'all know how we do, all right? And you know what I'm saying? As y'all already know, I got joining me tonight a co-host with the most, Miss Author Alicia Perry. She's on the Real Hot and Fresh Show. How you doing, Alicia?
Hey, Z-Fly. I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
I tell you one thing. You know, I just want to, first of all, just start off by saying that the Lord, He is always blessing. He is always looking out for you. And even, even whenever you think you are down and you are out, no, He got you. He got you in His hand. That's for everybody to know that. And I want everybody to know to always keep God first in every little thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he got your back. You know, others might say, well, we got your back. But one thing about God, you can rest assured, He really has your back.
You better say that again, okay?
All right.
So, yeah, so what's been going on with your week? Well, I mean, how was your week? What's going on? What's good? What's new? What's old?
Well, I have my own publishing company. The Lord has blessed me with that, and I am happy to say I signed yesterday a new author. I'm really excited. Her name is Jackie Gaines. She has 2 books out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to be publishing her 3rd book. So I'm very excited about that, and I will be, you know, telling you guys more, you know, later on. But I'm really, really excited about that.
That's what's up, and we are definitely excited to hear that, and we're definitely happy for you. So I pray and believe that everything is going to go well and great with that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Everybody, you are tuned in to FLY Radio. And as y'all know, we have a very, very good show. Tonight's show, like, I feel like I'm a fan of tonight's show because I'm just so looking forward to really getting to these conversation pieces that we got. We got some updates for you that we're going to be, you know, be telling you what's going on here, there, and everywhere in the United States of America. And you know, I got to drink off the juice for you that I'm going to be telling you about your favorite celebrities. That's going to be really juicy tonight. You definitely want to stay locked for that. But just to let you know, just to give you a little information on what's going on in this hour, we're all going to be talking about, I'm pretty sure everybody has heard about the Empire State tragic shooting that happened this week. And as you know, I live in New York City, so I'm definitely going to be giving you the update on that. And also, we're going to be talking about stripping. You know, these days, you know, is it... You know, what are your thoughts on stripping? Like, do you all think that it's a legit job, or do you think it's a form of prostitution? Well, we're definitely going to talk about that, and we definitely want to hear from you as well, so you know where to call in at 646-200-3136. Again, that's 646-200-3136. And if you are logged onto the Blog Talk Radio chat room, you can definitely leave your comments or questions in the chat room, and I'll definitely get them on air for you. Just to let you know, we are live. So, you know, the time is 7:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so we are a live show, so you'll definitely be live on radio. So, yeah, so definitely hit us up. We definitely want to hear from you. We definitely want to hear from you. So please call us up, talk to us, let us know how you feel, what you like, even what you don't like. You know what I'm saying? We want to hear it all.
Right.
Yeah.
We like
you
all
know.
Time. We want all time. What you like, what you don't like. I mean, just bring the flavor to us. I mean, you know, tell us how you feel. We got some hot topics, so call us up.
We really do. And again, that number is 646-200-3136. I am your host, Lee Fly, along with my co-host with the most, author Alicia Perry. And right now, we're going to get into those busters and those skeezers. All right, y'all. So coming tonight, Busters and Skeezers, I'm going to dedicate it to the males again. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to dedicate it to females and males. And this has been on my heart a lot lately. You know, living here in New York City, you definitely see a lot, and you see a lot, you witness a lot, and you hear a lot. And one thing that I see a lot is I see a lot of homeless people. And it really just kind of touches me because I try to figure out what's wrong. Where's the problem? You know, here we are in the U.S. of A., and there's just so many homeless people in this one city known as New York. And I just don't understand, you know, with so many resources, with so much money, you know, with being known as a first world country, you know, you would think that so many more people would really be on the up and up, but it's not. I mean, now, you know, I know that a lot of people say that a lot of homeless people, they're homeless by choice, you know, because they try to, you know, they're on some type of scam or whatever, but I don't know what the case may be. But all I know is even if you are on a scam, there's still a problem. You know, I'm thinking I'm not that hard up on money that I'm going to fool people to act like I'm homeless, sleep on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Just to get money from people. So there's still a problem somewhere. So I'm just saying for the young females and males, you know, stay in school. You know, stay educated. You know,
right.
I know that it gets harder sometimes in this, you know, in this economy that we're in. But just do everything that you can to not be homeless. Because whenever I'm walking and I see somebody that is face flat on the cement, there's a problem there. I mean, this cement, I don't know, you know, if you've ever been to New York City, you know what I'm talking about. New York City cement has to be one of the nastiest cements in the world. You know, people urinate, there's animals, there's all kinds of stuff. And just to see a person who is you know, with their face flat on the ground. It just really does something to me. So I just really want to, you know, encourage all the young females and males to stay in school. You know, even if, you know, if you're not financially ready to leave your home, you know, your parents' home, you know, don't. You know, I know a lot of times parents, like kids leave their home because they're ready to just get away from your parents. And sometimes you end up homeless. Trust me, you don't want to end up homeless. I'm seeing it every day. So I'm just saying, you know, do everything you can to not be homeless. You know, just, you know, just, in my thing is just stay educated. Just live humble, you know, and don't be in such a rush to get into what they call is the real world. You know, don't be in such a rush to get out there. Because one thing you want to be is Busta and Skeezer free. That's where I said it, okay? You heard it first here, y'all. You are keeping it real hot and fresh. Like I said, we got a good show tonight for you, so definitely keep it locked because so much more is coming up. I just want to thank my co-host, author Alicia Perry, for joining me tonight. Thank you so much. And everybody, we're gonna keep the New York talk rolling because next we're gonna be talking about the awful, tragic shooting of the Empire State Building. But right now we're gonna get into the hot with Lisa Lefty Lopez. Just keeping it real hot and fresh, people.
5, 9, 12, 18. She the one you thought would never do it solo. Well, yeah, now what? Check it out, sell me. Drama comes in dozens, and I know you love it. I rose to the road, so I rose to butter. The more that they see the woman got a mind of her own, the less that they want a part of my throne, they figure. But the more they compare me to the ones they could own, they know they never should have left me alone. I'm bigger, I'm without money gang, and my G's is up. Treat me like David Blaine and freeze me up. Let me address the issue, I'm super, not superficial. For me, the only statement I'm making is loyalty. 7 digits never under my bank account hold. Numbers like your phone numbers plus area code. Gamble with your career, the head chance, huh? See what happened with girls on my record deserves answers.
All the left out, what's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been. All left out, teachers, children, mothers, and sons. You know everybody love Miss Left Out. What's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been.
Credit in pubs, trying to be loved. I'm set a meal and a fan club. What you got signed for? I spit on some rugs, DVDs and TVs, and that's just in the car. Borderline genius, scientist, swear by me. Imagine I'm stunned in Carmen Jones' body. Gave you auditions. They say I'm a gymnast in business. My summer thoughts, short position. Wait, not, what not? I don't want for nothing. On top, you top, no discussion. I'm a debug, teacher. Here when it started, I'll be here when it changed. Started more careers than Quincy Jones. Other rap chicks acting funny since she's home. Do it again and again, expect the truth. Left eye, you expect me to respect you too.
Left eye, what's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been. Oh, left eye, teachers, children, mothers, and dogs. You know everybody love Miss Left Eye. What's happening? Everybody wanna know where you've been.
My bad. Well, y'all, we are now back keeping it real hot and fresh with your boy Z Fly. This is the FLY Radio, and I got Miss Author Alicia Perry. She on the line, and she ain't playing with nobody, okay? Alicia, what's going on?
Okay, you hear me? I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah, I hear you now.
I had a little audio difficulty. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm telling you right now, that audio difficulty is the devil. I'm telling you. All right, so we are now back keeping it. Y'all know how we keep it real hot and fresh. And that was Lisa Lopez with Hot. And also, remember, if you do want to call in and speak with any of the hosts of tonight, if the number is 646-200-3136. We definitely want to hear your lovely voices. So call us up. You know what I'm saying? Cuss us out or something. 646-200-3136. So tonight's first conversation piece is about the tragic shooting that, you know, that happened this week and at the Empire State Building. And you know what I'm saying? My thing is, you can't even go to work these days. Now, for those people who have never been to New York City, you know, let me just give you a little idea of how Midtown Manhattan is, you know, in the afternoon, you know, in the really busy times of the day. Now, Midtown Manhattan is busy, period. But around, you know, noontime, lunchtime, you know, rush hour time, you don't want to be in Midtown Manhattan, okay? You want to be on the moon, okay? But it's really busy, so, you know what I'm saying? So just to have a tragedy like this happen, I mean, whenever, you know, you're talking about shooting or anything, like anything violent in Manhattan, it's going to be really crazy. So that's why, like, whenever I heard this story, I mean, Alicia, I don't know when you heard it or what you thought, but when I heard about it, I was, like, really, surprised because, you know what I'm saying, I think that when it happened, I think I was, like, in Brooklyn so or somewhere like that. I don't know where I was at, but it was, like, crazy. Like, whenever you heard about it, Alicia, like, what was your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh. I was just saddened by the news. I mean, like you were saying, you can't even go to work. It's sad. You can't even go to work.
Mm-hmm.
The victims, a lot of them were caught in the crossfire from the gunmen and the police.
Exactly.
And it's just real sad. You know, I read about it, and I was, like, I can't really say that I was shock because, unfortunately, in America, that does happen, you know, disgruntled employees. And I'm just kind of upset at the company. Why was this man still allowed on the premises?
Exactly. That's my whole thing. But I'm trying to figure out, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how many years he worked there. You know what I'm saying? He might have made friends, so I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so I don't know if they let him back, you know what I'm saying, because he had friends or whatever, you know what I'm saying, because they said that, the way he got fired, it ended bitterly. So obviously, even if he did have friends, he still should have been back on the premises. But let me just give a little synopsis of what happened for those who might not even know what actually happened, because I know some people don't read or listen to the news, okay? But basically what happened was, you know, there was a gunman who triggered, after his boss, he was very mad because, like I said, you know, it ended, you know, the way he got fired, it ended, you know, bitterly. So I guess he was still mad and holding a grudge. So what he decided to do was, you know, he goes to, you know, the area where they were, that he takes a gun, and obviously he sees the man. I believe the boss was like, he was like 41, wasn't he, or something like that.
Yeah, he was young. He was young. And you know, I'm thinking that because of the age difference, because the shooter, he was 58.
Yeah.
He was a jewelry designer.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he didn't make his quotas, so they had laid him off because of downsizing, but
mm-hmm.
he had periodically been going there and having disputes with his boss.
That's what I'm talking about. And see, my thing is, when are you about 58? I mean, you might as well not get too mad if you got laid off, because Social Security is around the corner in a few years, okay?
Okay. So.
And, you know, and then my thing, and what gets me is, he was really, I mean, he hated his boss, because they said that one of the, you know, he thought when he shot at him, he kept shooting at him, and then, you know what I'm saying, like the boss, you know what I'm saying, I guess, that, you know, once the bullets went into him, you know, he fell to his knees, and he fell on the ground, Then the 58-year-old man, he goes over to the dead body and still pumping bullets in it.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, he was serious. And then what's the matter? He didn't do nothing. They said, like, there were some witnesses who said that the man just calmly walked away. And then, now who saw him was a construction man. A construction man saw what happened. Mm-hmm. He notified the cops. You know, the cops had called him because the man had got a block away from where it happened. The cops called him a block away. Then the 58-year-old man, he was about it, you know, because he pulled out his gun and he was about to shoot the cops. So it was two cops. And, you know, they just started pumping him with bullets. I think they shot him about 16 times, you know, right there.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, right here on 34th Street and 5th Avenue, the heart, you know, Midtown Manhattan. These folks have gone crazy. Now, all of it's kind of dangerous because, see, there's people walking around. Just like you said, there was, like, 9 injuries because, you know, these bullets are ricocheting. You know what I'm saying? Now, see, now, the cops,
yeah.
You know, the cops, they don't be thinking. I mean, I guess it is kind of a risky situation. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to get the man before he shoot them or shoot somebody else. But it's like 16 times, and then it's ricocheting. It's injuring. So one lady got shot in the knee. Another man got shot in the arm. I mean, so Alicia, what do you think about that? Like, do you think that? It was a report that they feel like because the NYPD. NYPD, they got problems of their own, okay? Nobody likes NYPD because they just feel like sometimes they go too far. Like, do you feel that, like, you know what I'm saying, 16 times for one man while there's innocent bystanders around in a busy city, do you think that was a little bit too much? What are your thoughts?
You know what? You just never know what the situation. It sounds a little intensive. I mean, it's just, that's a lot of bullets.
It is.
So I don't know if they... Maybe they thought it was another gunman. You just never know, you know. But that is a lot of bullets.
Yeah.
And they were ricocheting, and they were in a public area.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm not putting the police down, but I do think that was, you know, very extensive, a lot of shooting like that. As far as getting back, as far as with the victim, they said his name was Steve Iranlino. I hope I pronounced his name right. They said he was he was listed as the vice president of sales for the company. And the shooter, he was, like mentioned earlier, 58, and the victim was 41. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe the victim felt bad for the shooter. The shooter name was Jeffrey Johnson. I'm thinking he felt bad for Jeffrey Johnson and, I guess, let him come on the premises, and I don't know. I mean, I just can't fathom why an employee who's been laid off for over a year and has grudges and a vendetta against his boss, why is he still on the premises? I don't know. And
yes,
so both men, and what I also read, they said that that both men had a long dispute with each other and had filed harassment complaints against each other in April 2011.
Yes, it was a mess. You know, also I read, too, that the gun that Johnson had, the shooter, it was a 45 caliber handgun, and there was also an extra clip of bullets in his bag.
Ooh.
So you know what I'm saying? We don't know if he had a grudge against somebody else that worked there.
Right.
He was going on a shooting spree.
You know, we say about the police, but a lot of times, their job is to protect the public. So that maybe they had to do that to actually bring him down because, you know, that's one thing I tell you, people, when they lose their jobs, it's just, you know, you just have to be careful with a person who loses their jobs. People are going postal, be it grudges or already insane, you know. And I just think, you know, that if you're dealing with someone who's already has displayed some type of insanity, that you need to be on alert to protect people, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, especially if a person was asked to leave the job, had left the job not by their own will, you know.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's sad, I tell you.
It really is sad. So our heart definitely goes out to Stephen Iacolino. I'm going to say his name right, too, Iacolino. His dad, because they said his dad was really, really sad. You know, his dad had stated that, you know, that his son was really a good, you know, a really, you know, a great son. You know, the victim was a really great son growing up. So, you know, shout out to his dad. Hopefully he can get, shout out to his dad and his family, they can get through it. I mean, it's just tragic. And just like you said, you know, you really got to be, like, these employers and stuff, you really got to be careful because, you know, these are trying times. Like you said, people stressed out. People need jobs. I mean, because people got, even though the man's 58, you know, we don't know what all he had to pay. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when you lose a job and you ain't got no income coming in, and then you got the bill collectors, you know, because the bills don't stop. And
they
sometimes,
don't
you know, they don't stop. They keep going.
Like,
sometimes,
they're like sinners. They don't stop.
Okay. And it could just make a person go really mad. So I'm just telling you, just be careful out there, all these employers and everybody. All right?
I know
that. Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's like no one's safe anymore. You may be, it's like this, Z-Fly, you may be having a great day, you know. It's Friday, you just got paid, you know, and you're caught up in someone else's drama.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it goes to show you, you just have to pray before you leave your home that you'll be in perfect peace, you know, because it's crazy out here. I mean, when they say when you step out your door, it's a jungle.
Dang, they are not lying. All right, well, everybody, we definitely thank you for tuning in. And we're going to go ahead and get into a break. But when we come back, I got some Drunk Off the Juice for you. I got some Lil Wayne. You know, y'all probably heard about what he said about New York. Well, we're going to talk about that. And then I got some, E-40. He done got banned from somewhere. I'll tell y'all about that. So definitely stick around. Keep it locked because we're going to keep it hot. This is FLY Radio. Be sure to tune in and call us at 646-200-3136. If you hear anything that you want to comment on, again, that's 646-200-3136. I am your host, Z-Fly, and I'm rocking out with author Alicia Perry. This is the Keep It Real Hot and Fresh on FLY Radio.
Welcome back. I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
Welcome. I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all want to smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don means. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker, always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane, I explain it to my broker. Three bots in the hood, top down and ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that come from. Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
They wanna know who I'm coached by. Every day approached by chicks when I was no top. Wanna give me so side, but I'm like, don't try. I see the hisses and the disses when I go by. But see the misses on my wrists when I float by. Self-control and I can't tell you no lie. Tryna find a soulmate, you end up being so tired. I'm
make my money, man, without the coca. Living la vida without the loca. I'm down south, so they show me country love. And I ain't even country thug. The people give me daps and hugs, so it must be love. And I love the country grub. It feel good to hear people singing welcome back. And I ain't even selling a track, cause I'm that Harlem cat.
The names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
Y'all, welcome back to the show. This is the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show. And right now, I am about to start to be all drunk. And I'm talking about real drunk off the juice. All right, y'all. Now, look, this week, the you know what I'm saying, the celebrities, they have really been at it. They have really, really been at it. Now, let's start off with, now, have y'all heard about, how many of y'all saw the interview with Chris Brown and Rihanna? I mean, not Chris Brown, I mean Oprah and Rihanna. Did you see that, Alicia?
Oh, yeah, I saw it, and I learned a lot about Rihanna that I didn't know. I mean, you know, she was real, you know, real close to her grandmother who passed, you know, and during the whole saga with her and Chris Brown's situation, she was really feeling sorry for Chris and was hoping to get help he needed, and I thought that was very good of her and very mature of her. You know, she's very mature, so...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You might think she's very mature, but one person who does not is Chris Brown's mother. Yeah, after the interview, she went on Twitter once again. That's right, Twitter. Chris Brown's mother went on Twitter, and she was in a ranting mode. Now, basically, she never really, she never really said, you know, a specific name. However, we all know who she was talking about. I mean, allegedly. Basically, Chris Brown's mother, she was like, She tweeted, "Did you say something? Did it help anyone? Not until you tell the truth will you ever be free." She said, "Peace sometimes comes with a price. Tell the truth and set yourself free." She also added, "Angels, you have been there no matter what. You are the true meaning of love in spite of." And then she added, "Be positive. It can and it will help someone." And then she said, "My statements have always been general and will remain that way." So, I mean, I don't know what she was trying to say, who she was directing at. But you know what? My personal thing,
it's nothing that Rihanna could have did so bad to get beat like that, unless the comedians are right, unless she did say, "Hey, Chris, you can't dance." Okay? But you shouldn't get, I mean... The way he beat her, I'm a Chris Brown fan, so I'm not, I mean, I like Chris Brown, his music, but he does have some anger management problems that need to be addressed, because you can always get out the car. If somebody puts you down. You can always, and then the way he, the brutality, the way he beat her, those pictures don't lie. So, you know, both of them have some part to say. And, I mean, and that does go to tell also a woman, you know, if you provoke a man, you necessarily don't know his background. Because, you know, Chris said that he watched his mother being beat. So, you know, if you provoke a man, you know, you liable to get hurt. I'm not condoning abuse, but I'm just saying that, you know, you got to be careful who you provoke, be it a man, if you provoke a wild animal or a tame animal.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Wow. So, like I said, I guess you know who she meant that for. But moving along, now, if y'all are fans of E-40 and Too Short, now, you know, they performed at last weekend's Rock the Bell show, but they were really unlikely to perform at the weekend's Mountain View in California show. Now, and it's really strange because, see, now, E-40, he revealed in an interview that, you know what I'm saying, both legends, you know, they're from that event, you know, by that city. And so E-40, he was quoted saying, "I'm not even going to be there." He said, "For some reason, the city of Mountain View won't let, you know, me or Too Short perform," he said. And it really, they didn't, you know what I'm saying, the city, they didn't give an excuse. You know, they didn't even really know why they wouldn't let them in. But for some reason, they will not let E-40 or rapper Too Short perform at that event. And, you know, basically, you know, E-40, you know, he just said, you know, my man always classical to do anything with Too Short, you know, always classical to, you know, Rock the Bell. You know, he said, we ain't at the Bay Area, one in Southern California. He said, but it's still groovy like a drive-in movie. But now, because they did perform at San Bernardino, at you know, they performed there. But the city of Mountain View, you know, they wasn't having it. They didn't want no parts of Too Short or E-40. So, what do you think was up with that? And they didn't even really give a reason why. Like, what do you think was up with that? That's crazy.
Now, what was it located again?
It was probably at Mountain View, California. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they're kind of like a conservative city. You know, I'm not quite sure why they wouldn't want them. I mean, they're entertainers and they're entertaining, so I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know what I'm saying, they're both from that city, but that city didn't have no love for those residents. That's how that went. All right. Now, speaking of people not having love for, speaking of people not having love for a city, now, like I was saying, you know, Lil Wayne, he went to Twitter or wherever he went, made a statement that he does not like New York City. And, of course, you know, whatever Lil Wayne does, you know, Lil Wayne can say, oh, I just woke up and I had coffee. That'll go viral. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so his statement about he don't like New York City went viral. However, it had a lot of negative comments about it. And one big negative comment was actually Senator Malcolm Smith. He actually took to the press in Times Square. He made a comment on what Lil Wayne said. Basically, he was saying that, you know, he did not agree with it. You know, he said he doesn't like his words. He didn't like he said he felt it was an insult to the entire fan base in New York City. He said New York City is where it's where the senator is, you know, from, you know. He said it's the hip-hop music movement. You know, he said millions of New Yorkers listen to his music, you know, listen to Lil Wayne's music every day. And he just felt like that, you know, by Lil Wayne saying that he doesn't like New York City was a very insult to New York City. He said because, you know, the senator says that, you know, he loved the city. You know, he said that he felt also Lil Wayne insulted, like, Frank Sinatra, and also, you know, Jay-Z, you know, people who have endearing songs about New York City. Okay, and, you know, and so he was in Times Square talking all that stuff. Now, my own little personal remarks on that, if I may have that, is that's crazy. For one thing, just about Lil Wayne don't like New York City, like, okay. Like, so honestly,
I mean, I don't know how you feel, Alicia, but honestly, I don't think that he said anything wrong. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who don't like New York City. Okay, for example, Lil Wayne, he's from Louisiana. There's people who might not like the South. I'm pretty sure there's been some rappers or song, or, you know, people, celebrities, who said they don't like Atlanta or they don't like Mississippi. I mean, that's his personal thing. Like, I don't think, I mean, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some fans may have, you know, took it personal, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like that. I mean, if you don't like New York City, okay.
I mean, you know, in Lil Wayne's defense, you know, Z-Fly, it's not that Lil Wayne don't like the fans of New York City.
Exactly.
The police in New York City, the way he was treated, because, you know, Lil Wayne was locked up.
Exactly.
Situations in New York. So he's always, you know, had issues with New York City, the police department, and a lot of things, you know, that happened. He feels that he was, you know, prosecuted wrongly because of his status. So, yeah, he really doesn't really care too much, you know, for New York City's police department and also, you know, being locked up. And who would, you know?
Exactly. So that's why and my thing is, like, I thought it was kind of crazy for the senator to say that. Okay, the senator, okay, he's born in New York. He loves it. Okay, good for him. He loves it. But Lil Wayne don't love it.
I mean, Lil Wayne, he don't like the city, but for him to put Jay-Z into that, Lil Wayne loves Jay-Z. Lil Wayne idolizes Jay-Z. I mean, you know, and like he loves Baby, his, you know, his father, he loves Jay-Z as well. You know, like you said, just because he put down the city, you know, doesn't mean that he doesn't like the people in the city.
Exactly. So the senator, he don't really have, he don't got no argument. But anyway, they also asked Birdman, you know, Birdman the rapper, you know, what did he think of what Lil Wayne said? And Birdman, of course, he definitely stood by his artist. He said, you know, well, you know, whatever Lil Wayne say, most of the time I'm gonna stick by it. He said, if New York, he said if Wayne don't like New York City, then guess what? I don't like New York City. How about that?
I tell you.
Okay.
Man, I tell you one thing about it. He got your back. Okay.
He got your
He got your back. If, you know, if you're friends with Birdman or family, you can best believe you are taken care of. He has your back. In good times, bad times, he has your back. Shout out to YMCMB. All right.
All right. Now, speaking of New York City and artists who are from and people who love New York City, Diddy's name has actually been in Twitter in a negative way lately. Now, as you know, like I said, Twitter is the place to go whenever you want to just, you know, tell somebody off. Because, as y'all know, former Bad Boy artist Sean, he went on a tirade on Twitter criticizing Diddy. Basically, he was just, you know, he started off by saying, top of the morning, gangland military. He just went off his account, and he was saying stuff like, you know, the commander-in-chief is pleased to report that no one hacked my Twitter account. So he was letting everybody know that it's actually him saying these things about Diddy and nobody else. And he was saying stuff like, you know, you can't rap about the streets, make hundreds of millions off of street rap and not abide by the street code of honor. He said, what is a rat? Someone who sacrifices others for their self-gain. He said a rat is the guy that gets caught that tells on everybody else. You know, so he said a rat isn't trying to help society. A rat just doesn't want to go to jail, so he sends everybody else to jail. He said, I have no malice in my heart. He said, I am Diddy, needs help. He said nobody around, you know, has the courage to help him. So he said that he's here to help Diddy and put him on track. So Sean, former Bad Boy artist, he's out to get Diddy. And like I said, you know, I don't know if that's a smart thing, you know. Hopefully we don't hear, I ain't say all that. But anyway, the point is, he went off on Diddy. I don't know if that was a good move. I don't know what's going to happen next. But he's definitely, you know, it was on Twitter, so anybody read it, and he's definitely trying to put Diddy on blast is what he's doing.
Right. I think he's still a little angry, you know, about the time he spent in prison for the that shooting in the club, you know. You know, Diddy was found not guilty of anything, and he went on with his life. I think, you know, I think Shine, he needs to go on with his life. He's a talented rapper, and he needs to just go on with his life and try to secure a record deal and continue to, you know, rap. I mean, them holding grudges is kind of hard, you know. You know, that's a job in itself, holding grudges and stuff like that. But like I said, Shine is a very talented rapper. He sounds like the late Biggie Smalls, a Biggie, B.I.G., rest in peace. And I think that he, you know, has a good chance of, you know, getting a record deal and going on with his life in a positive way and just leaving P. Diddy alone. Diddy has helped a lot of people over two decades. I mean, Diddy is entrepreneur. He's a very talented, smart businessman. And, you know, sometimes the moves you make, you're not going to make everyone happy, you know. Right. And that sometimes it's just, it's not personal. Sometimes it's just business. But I wish both of them success. Diddy, he's very successful. And I wish Shine the best as well.
I feel so. All right, everybody, and then your last juice to get you drunk is, I don't know if y'all know, but y'all know that crazy custody battle with Usher and Tamiko Raymond? Well, it comes to find out that there was a lot of more dirt that isn't being discussed publicly regarding Usher and Tamika and the whole ugly custody battle. Now, there is a list, that's right, a list of supposed hidden truths regarding the superstar and his kids. Now, that's all I'm going to tell you for this week, because you have to tune in next week, because me and author Alicia Perry, we will be doing a topic on Usher's custody battle and the Tamika Raymond, all that. So that's, I'm just going to give you a little bit of juice, okay? But next week, I will fill you in on some of the dirt that has been exposed about that custody battle. And everybody, you are now drunk off the juice. I am your boy Z Fly. I'm be sure to still continue to keep it locked. We got so much coming up. I got your real hot, real fresh music coming up. And me and Alicia, author Alicia Perry, we will be talking about stripping. And is it an actual job? Or are you doing prostitution? Okay. That's coming up next on FLY Radio.
It's that bounce right here.
Come on, man.
Time to move on. Time to be strong. Don't stop now, straight to the top, man. Look what I need.
You wanna truly understand how to treat a man.
That's what you say. Girl, you make me believe again. If you happy, then be with him. Go ahead, mommy, breathe again. Go ahead, mommy, breathe again. Don't stop now, straight to the top now. Go ahead, mommy, make it hot now. I need me a love that's gonna make my heart stop now. And what I need is simple. 5'5" with dimples, potential, wife credentials. Know about the life I'm into, life I've been through, and how I had a trifling mental. So ride with me, G4 fly with me. Times get hard, cry with me, die with me. White beach sand, lie with me. My advice is forget the limelight. Let's make love while we listen to Frank White. So tight, now I understand life. Yeah, take that. Come on. Bubble bath in a champagne glass, about the size of a campaign ad. You don't know how you look to me, but in love with the crime, you're a crook to me. Cause I done been around the world, seen a lot of places, been around your girl, believe I read faces. I could tell she don't want me to prevail, but I learned my lesson watching Sean's lesson. So why listen to her and start guessing? Mommy, you ain't ready to ride to start dressing. I need a girl receive my mom's blessing. Confession, my love, no contesting. I need affection. Listen, need affection. Let's go, Mary.
Girl, what the hell is on your mind?
Yeah.
I could be done, but I'm not blind.
Come on.
There's something leaking in your mind.
Come on, man.
Don't look too good for you and me.
and get our minds together. Build a love that'll last forever. So let's stop the pain, stop the rain. Put stress to rest, girl, stop the game. Name the spot, mommy, I got the plane. Road too rough, I got the rain. So I got some things, known to put rocks and rings. Push 100-foot yachts and things, your man don't play. Have you ever been to San Tropez or seen a brother play a mandolay? Girl, I wanna just look in your eyes and watch the sunrise. No more lies, no more tears to cry. No more reasons for leaving. You, I believe in. Love you to the day I stop breathing. I love you, girl. Come on.
Welcome back to the show, y'all. Welcome back to the Keeping It Raw and Fresh. Let me give y'all a live update right now. Well, right now I'm actually live hosting the show in the West Village of Manhattan, and I'm over here by this electronics store, and I'm over here, you know what I'm saying, minding my business, and somebody tried to run out stealing some Beats by Dre headphones, but the cops stopped.
Oh, you spit? Oh my God.
Yes, sir. There is a live update that just happened. I said these folks is going mad. I tell y'all, people still ain't nobody got no money. You know, they're trying to get a check. Sure did, but see, what was sad about it? The guy ran out and didn't even know the cops was right outside. As soon as the guy ran out that door, the cops knocked him back up against that wall. So said, I kind of blew my eyes. I said, wait a minute. I got to report this. There's a live update. That just happened. Okay, now look, all you people who ain't never been to New York City, now I'm not trying to scare y'all, okay?
Don't scare them now.
I ain't gonna scare them. All right, y'all, that's what's up. So welcome back to the show. You are keeping it raw and fresh. And right now it is 7:52 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The top of the hour is on its way. Y'all know what I'm saying? So many good conversation pieces that's coming up and more hot music. But right now, we're going to get into some real hot, real fresh music for you to listen out for. I'm fancy, huh? I'm fancy, huh? All right, y'all, that's what's up. Okay, here is your real hot, real fresh music for you all to listen out for. All right, coming in at number 20, we got Styles T with Yo Trill-ish featuring Bun B. At number 19, we got Twista coming in with Bath and Body Works. Now, Alicia, can you believe it? Somebody done made a song about the store, Bath and Body Works. I'm telling you the truth. All right, number 18, we got Project Pac and Nasty Mane with Billy on Full. Number 17, we got Gucci Mane with Hudson Jugs. All right, number 16, we got PC the South Boy featuring Lil Durk with I Be About It. Number 15, we got Alex Jordal with Kill 'Em All. Coming in at number 14, we got Huey Mack and Mike Studd with the song Envy. Number 13, we got Clem Rashad with The American Way. Number 12 is Binky Dance featuring Fat Kev and Dre Lee's. The song is called Close Casket. Number 11, you got your boy T-Pain with Don't You Quit. Coming in at number 10, you got Roach Giggs featuring Jay Stalen with Thanksgiving turkey. I know that's right, hon. That's coming up soon, about 3 more months, okay? Number 9, we got Giovanni Keys with No Toes. Number 8 is Mr. J. Now, y'all know I tell people names right. Ms. D. Rose, I want to say, with the song I Hate My Job. Uh-oh. Featuring Strong Elliott. Okay, I hate my job.
You said Missy Elliott on there, too?
No, Stro Elliott.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Number 7 is Rock Marciano with the song 76. Number 6, we have Element with All Figured Out. Coming in at number 5, we have Divine Karama with Verbal Shootouts. I don't know, Lord, these shootouts, I'm telling you. Number 4, The Proletarians with Rugrats. Number 3, we have Planet 6. The song is called By Myself, featuring Curtis Williams. Number 2 is I-20 with the song Ballad for a Queen. And your real hot, real fresh music to listen out for, we have Feel the Thrill with the song Scene of a Dream. So there you have it, everybody. That is a song that you definitely want to listen out for because they are what's real and they are what's hot. All right. We are 4 minutes before the top of the hour. Coming up, we got some more conversation pieces. Like I said, we're going to be talking about some stripping. And is it in a legit job or is it just prostitution? We're also going to be talking about some celebrities. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about what exactly makes a trophy wife and what exactly makes a gold digger. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're going to let y'all be the judge of that. Because these days, you can't even have tails sometimes, all right? But you are keeping it real hot and fresh. I am your boy, Z-Fly, with my co-host, Alpha Alicia Perry. And remember, the call-in is 646-200-3136. Once again, that's 646-200-3136. And also keep the line. Off Alicia Perry got the end to know that you don't want to miss. But right now, we better make your legs go to the moon with some Rashida featuring Candy.
Hey, that's my baby. You know that's my baby, right? You know that's my baby, right?
To the moon, shawty.
I hate to see him leave, but I know he'll be back soon. And he gon' put my leg to the moon, leg to the moon.
Put your legs to the moon, shawty, legs to the moon.
We gon' do it all night, the sun tonight. It feels so right when he put my leg to the moon.
He
never gone long, and when he leave he calls, can't wait to get home. You know that I'm ready, and on that Patron, ain't got nothing on, ain't got nothing on. It's going down, I can't wait. I send him pics to his phone, so he fixate. He called to conversate, now it's getting dirty. Got number before you get here, he said be there in a hurry. Swag off the chain. When we met, I told myself he can get this damn thing. The first time we did it all, oh, insane. Boy, we got it popping. I ain't talking champagne. No other can replace the way he do that thing when I put it in his face. He's the best. I'm singing to his tune when he spread my legs and put him up to the moon.
See him leave, but I know he'll be back soon, and he gon' put my leg to the moon, leg to the moon.
I'ma put your legs to the moon, shout it, legs to the moon.
We gon' do it all night, the sunlight. It feels so right when he put my leg to the moon, leg to the moon.
I'ma put your legs to the moon, shout it, legs to the moon.
Okay, I'm on a drug, addicted to love. To the way he put my legs up above. Now I'm seeing stars on another planet. His love taking me to Mars.
work the middle, switch positions. I'm such a boss, but his love makes me so submissive. He takes his time, so attentive. I do a new trick, just a little incentive. To keep them on my team, got them on some biggie shit, hollin' it was all a dream. When he met me, he know I'm down like no other. A classy, sexy, freaky chick who always keep it gutter. You know, I'm motivated, he's my motivator. And this tongue's amazing, such a stimulator. I'm wetter than a lagoon, and ready, baby, come and put these legs to the moon.
See him leave. I know he'll be back soon, and he gon' put my leg to the moon, legs to the moon.
Put your legs to the moon, shout it, legs to the moon.
We gon' do it all night, to the sunlight. It feels so right when he put my leg to the moon, legs to the moon.
Put your legs to the moon, shout it, legs to the moon.
I'm so flexible. Every time he beats it, and it really turns me on. He drives me crazy, but he goes way too deep so far, and I can't take it. I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love how he takes control. I love it, I love it, I love everything he does, even when
legs to the moon.
We gon' do it all night, till the sunlight. It feels so right when he put my legs to the
moon. She's too sweet for TV, and the streets know she keeps it true. But she's a bad girl, keep it gangster. gangsta, and she's too sweet for you, and wherever she goes, I know she
gon' handle business or she gon' lay low. But I'ma be your witness, I get down with the witness. Baby, no matter how far you go.
That's right. Too Street for TV. That, you know what I'm saying? She got like us. That's why we on radio. Cause we Too Street for TV, Alicia.
Yes.
That's what's up, y'all. Welcome back to the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh show. You are tuned in and logged in to the FLY Radio. We just want to thank all of our listeners and everybody who tunes into the show each and every week with us to hear us and also keep it real hot and fresh with us. But right now it's time for some Miss Alicia Perry. What you got for us?
Oh, yes. You know, I got in the notes here. Hi, everyone. I am author Alicia Perry, and tonight I'm bringing you In the Know. Space legend Neil Armstrong dies at the age of 82, the American astronaut who made, quote, one giant leap for mankind, end quote, when he became the first man to walk on the moon, died Saturday. A statement from his family said, "We are heartbroken to share the news that Neil Armstrong has passed away following complications resulting from cardiovascular procedures." Armstrong underwent heart surgery this month. His family statement ended with, "While we mourn the loss of a very good man, we also celebrate his remarkable life and hope that it serves as an example to young people around the world to work hard to make their dreams come true, to be willing to explore and push the limits, and to selfishly serve a cause greater than themselves," end quote. A NASA spokesman said, "As long as there are history books, Neil Armstrong will be included in them." And I say, that's what's up. And now you're in the know.
That's what's up. Thank you. All right, everybody, you know what it is, what it ain't. All right, y'all, so we're going to keep this show moving. And right now we're going to get into our next conversation piece. And remember, we definitely want to hear all of your comments tonight. So hit us up at 646-200-3136 and let us know what you all think of anything you heard thus far or anything that we're going to talk about in this brand new hour that we are now in. So right now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about some taking your clothes off, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of stripping, you know, a little bit of showing what your mama, you know, gave you, checking your money maker and all that kind of stuff. Okay, stripping is what we're talking about, all right? But what we want to know is stripping, like, is it a legit job or is it maybe a form of prostitution? You know, I mean, Alicia, I'm going to let you take this one.
What you got to say?
What you know about stripping? Look, what you know about stripping?
I don't know nothing about stripping, I tell you. But I got friends who used to do it, you know. And I tell you one thing, I'm not downgrading strippers. I'm not saying, because a lot of, you know, young girls is going in the strip to pay for tuition, and that's really a statistic out there. I can't even talk today. It's saying that a lot of young women are going into the strip clubs for money to pay rent and pay their all college tuition, you know. Tuition costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, financial aid, if you lucky to get it, you know, ain't going to pay for everything. You know, you can pay other things you got to pay for, so they go on the strip club to do their thing and make the money. Me personally, as far as it being prostitution, I don't think it starts out as prostitution. You know, I don't think stripping is prostitution, but it eventually can turn to it, you know. It may start out just as stripping, but then the pressures to make more money or get a customer's pleasure beyond the strip pole turns it into prostitution. So,
well, y'all know how Z-Fly is. I'm just going to be real with you. You know, if I'm going to be real, then we might as well take the real part out of the name of this show.
Okay.
Well, me personally, I don't agree with it, you know what I'm saying? And I am going to knock people for doing it, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, It's just, you know, because I feel like, here's how I feel like there's still another choice. There's still another choice. Hey, and here's why I say this, because, see, I think people, a lot of people, they feel, oh, I want to strip, you know, I got to put food on my family, you know, put food on the table, I got to pay my bills, blah, 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 and it's easy money. You know, so you just get it there, do a little this, do a little dance, men go crazy, whatever, whatever, and you get some money. Now, but, you know, I feel like that's just too easy. I feel like there is something you can do. Because I'm, you know, actually, this is actually an interesting topic. I'm glad we're talking about it because I remember when I first moved to New York, I was meeting a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? And these were guys. A lot of guys wanted to strip. And, you know, they would come ask me, like, do you think I should strip? And I'm like, why would you want to go strip? He's like, and just like you said, you know, well, now in New York, you know, the rent is crazy. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of these guys was talking about stripping so that, you know, they could pay their rent. And I'm not going to tell somebody to do something like that. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's your choice, like, don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like I feel, you know, many ways about that. But to me, I'm sorry. I am going to knock it because, you know what, yes, people may have to put food on their table. Yes, people, you know, they may have got children you got to take care of. But my thing is McDonald's is always hiring.
Okay.
And see, now my thing is now I know a lot of people look at McDonald's as just some pathetic job, you know, because they don't hardly pay you nothing. Yes, that is so true. But guess what? It's a decent job. And at least when if you walk down the street, you won't have to worry about seeing some client looking at you. Yeah, I know what you're all about.
And
you know what I'm saying?
But you know what, Zifa, I'm glad you brought that up because, like, one of my friends she's a former stripper, she had ran into that problem. And keep in mind, this young lady was married, okay? And, you know, she, you know, had a regular job, but it wasn't enough to help with the household expenses. So she did it on the side without her husband knowing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Basically when she would do it, you know, guys recognized her from the club.
Mm.
And
don't
they were coaching her. He told me one incident where her and her husband was out. And a gentleman, he recognized, he said, hey, you know, and she had to tell her husband, oh, that's the old school buddy of mine. But it wasn't. It was somebody who saw her at the strip club, you know. But
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, knocking, I'm not for it, but I'm not going to look down on people who do it because, you know, you don't have certain, like you said, McDonald's hiring, you know, different Wendy's, whatever you want to go to, there are times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's other alternatives besides stripping. But a lot
exactly.
of young women feel like, you know, that's the only thing that they can do to make a decent income, you know. Because McDonald's and Wendy's, I mean, they don't really pay as much, I guess, as a strip club, but there are repercussions
mm-hmm.
going out there showing your body because you may end up wanting to be more than a stripper and then nobody takes you seriously. That's also people in the porn industry.
Exactly, you made a few good points. See, okay, just like you said, you know, like McDonald's may not be paying that much, but even though, you know, I was telling mm-hmm. Jim about the guys who want to strip, but see, a lot of times, I mean, but like, you know, the majority of guys, whenever a guy is, you know, I guess looking for a job or whatever, like, he doesn't, you know, so not all. So a lot of people, they don't, like, turn to stripping. Like, why do women feel like, you know, I'm a woman, you know, a dog, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that's all they see themselves as good at is shaking it for a man. Why don't they mm-hmm. use their brain and go to an office job or go, you know what I'm saying, apply somewhere where you're really going to be respected, you know what I'm saying, where you will feel good when you go home at night, you know what I'm saying? Because self-worth, mm-hmm. self-integrity is everything. And my thing is, you know what I'm saying, you might make $2,000, $3,000 or more a night, you know what I'm saying, fast mm-hmm. cash, you know what I'm saying? But then at the end of the day, how do you really feel about yourself? You know what I'm saying? Where is your, what you can see, what you're doing? Like, for example, you know, if you're working at a job, you know, you can see your progress. Stripping, what are you really saying? I mean, you just seeing money come in?
But you never know how these young women were raised, what environment they were raised in. You know, a lot of times, you know, it could be something that they saw their mother doing, or, you know, anything could be involved, you know, in this that makes them go out and seek that kind of profession, you know.
Uh-huh.
And as far as I have a book that I'm working on. It's a fictional story about a young lady who, you know, leaves home with her boyfriend. They leave home to try to, you know, make it, but somehow they get caught up in the strip club and prostituting, then eventually doing porn.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you just never know, and I've done research on it, and you just never know what kind of situation, because, you know, me being an author, you know, I don't know this stuff without interviewing or doing research, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I do my research, and I found out a lot of these young ladies were molested, or they were promiscuous, you know, going out and just doing all kinds of stuff, and it leads to them being on the strip pole. And then, you know, with the entertainment business, strippers are glamorized, especially among
uh-huh.
rappers. They love strippers.
Okay. I guess they say, hey, you know, I'm a stripper now, you know, I'm making money, so...
Okay. But even with that, okay. First of all, well, I want to make two points. First of all, okay. But what does it stop? You know, just like you were saying, you know, they might have, you know, I don't know how what kind of upbringing they had or whatever their mother might have did it. But what does it stop? You know, just like how we were talking about Chris Brown's mother, you know, or Chris Brown, you know, he might have seen his mother get beat, but now he's beating somebody. Where does the cycle stop? And you know what I'm saying? And then the other point you said, oh man, I don't forget. What was the other thing you just said? The last thing you said.
About it's glamorized.
Exactly. Okay. And then that thing. Okay. But see, that goes back to what I was saying. They need to have self respect, because who cares if these guys like to see it? At the end of the day, you are the one that's degraded. You don't see these guys on a pole stripping for you in a video. They are fully clothed while you on a video. Yeah, you might be making money. Okay, wow. Okay, you're making money. But at the end of the day, nobody respects you. I want you to try to go get... You know what I'm saying? Go try to get a CEO job. After they don't see your profile or video stripping and you show everything, nobody's going to respect. You know, I mean, now, okay, I put it like this. You know, in the moment, it's fun. You know, so they're young, got a nice body. You know, they're having fun making this money. But see, I guess I'm a prude. Because, like, I always try to think of the future. Like, if I do this, what's going to happen in the future? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of people got to think that. I mean, yeah, you might be making money. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You flashing cash. But at the end of the day, nobody respects you. They don't. I mean, nobody respects
nobody.
A stripper.
Right.
You don't respect.
Right.
Because Alicia, guess what? I would put money on it. Those same guys that you said that's in the video that they're about to see these strippers, I bet you not one of them will marry one of those strippers. I bet you that.
But, well, they say you never make a whore into a housewife, you know. So.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, and we would hope that a lot of these young women would think about, you know, the aftermath of stripping, what's going to happen with their future, you know. I don't advocate, I'm not for it, but I'm not putting them down if they feel that that's all they can do, you know, because if it's stripping or being homeless, a lot of women are going to go, you know, and they just have to do, you know, they do what they want to do. But we do need women and who can tell these women and encouragement and say, hey, you are more than that strip club, you know.
Yeah.
Further your education. It's other ways to fund yourself and take care of yourself besides going stripping, you know. Because it is consequences. We can look at Vanessa Williams. She wasn't a stripper, but back in the 80s, she had posed nude, and those pictures, and she ended up becoming the first African American Miss Miss America? But they ended up taking her title away because of
it. Exactly. So, I mean,
and it took her a long time. Right, it took her a long time to regain self-respect. It took her a long time for others to respect her because all they saw was those new pictures. And this woman is very talented, articulate, a great actress. I mean, I must say, but she had to overcome that because of her past. You know, she was young and beautiful, you know, and she thought, okay, I can make some quick money doing this. But then she thought it wasn't going to follow her. And it did follow her. So a lot of times you do got to think about the consequences because you may want to get in a legit line of not a, a more respected line of business, and because of that past, the stripping or whatever you were doing, porn, that catches up with you.
Exactly. And then I just wanted to add real quick my thought, like, you know, part of the question was, is it a form of prostitution? And I think so. You know, I know a lot of times when people think when people think of prostitution, you know, you're really thinking of, you know, I guess the whole nine yards, you know, with the actual having sex and everything. But, you know, I think there's different types and forms of prostitution. You know, my thing is, if you own a pole or on the stage or wherever you at, and you're receiving money for taking off your clothes, I mean, that's a form of prostitution. I mean, because you're getting money for taking off your clothes. You know, so you're getting money for people to touch you, smack you, touch you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even though they may not be actually having sex with you, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, you're still receiving money to kind of degrade yourself. So I would say, yes, it's definitely a form, a type of prostitution. I sure would say it, and I'm standing by that.
We're gonna agree to disagree. I don't think that, you know, stripping is prostitution, but it can turn into it because prostitution is having sex for money. Yeah, and you know, you take off your clothes, that don't mean that you have, you know, had sex, you know. But where it does turn into
they're taking money though.
Sex. Yeah, they're taking money, but they're still having sex with the person. Now, if they do, that's like similar to a call girl. She can, you know, hey, go to dinner. You know, have you ever heard of the date for dinner? And she go to dinner and yet sit down and eat with this man. But then when they go to the hotel and they perform sex and she's getting paid, that's the prostitution part.
Well, that's why I said stripping is a form. I didn't say it's actually the real thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's a type of, because I still think that, like, if you're taking your clothes off, and you know what I'm saying, you let people feel all over you, and then you receive money from it. I think it's a type.
I see what you're saying.
You're crazy.
You know, a lot of times on that stage, I'm doing research they say it gets very explicit on that stage. So, yeah, you got a point right there. It can turn into, you know, prostitution and stuff like that. But
exactly.
Like the point you was making, you know, any strippers or past strippers or whoever's listening, and we do want your comments. You are not a stripper, you know strippers, you know, call us and let us know, you know, give your comments on this because this is a topic. We do, you know, myself, and I bet you're alone with this, that we want to encourage women that you are more than strip poles, a matching thong, and bikini. You have a reach out there. Stripping, you know, is not going to look good if you're trying to pursue something, if you're trying to be taken seriously.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we're all going to, so we definitely want to hear your comments and let us know what you think. 646-200-3136. We got some more good conversation piece coming up for you. So definitely keep it locked because it is about to get so much.
It's going to get hotter.
Okay, hot to
just turn
keeping it real hot and fresh. This is your boy Z-Fly, and I am joined with my co-host, the most, Alicia, author Alicia Perry, and we are definitely keeping it hot. So I hope you everybody's enjoying the show. Remember, that number to call in is 646-200-3136. Again, that's 646-200-3136. And right now, we are actually in conversation piece, and our next piece that we will be discussing is Trophy Wives versus Gold Diggers. I ain't saying she a gold digger, but we're going to find out, you know. But so basically, as y'all know, you know, there are so many supposedly trophy wives, you know, that are, you know, in celebrity status or whatever, or just other, you know, just regular people too. But what actually separates a trophy wife from a gold digger? You know what I'm saying? You know, at least a lot of people may not even know that. You know, there might be some gold diggers who might think they trophy wives. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. You are absolutely right. A lot of entertainers, basketball players, NBA players, R&B singers, they are attracted to these women, you know. And then a lot of times these women, they have motives when it comes to money.
Uh-huh.
And they really ain't really thinking about the man himself. They're thinking more of his money.
Exactly. Go ahead.
And, you know, and they marry him, and then they find out at divorce court that all these women wanted was their money. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to define a trophy wife for the listeners. Now, a trophy wife is actually an attractive, sometimes much younger partner to affluent men. You know, I'm pretty sure y'all probably noticed that with some of these celebrities. So that's what a trophy wife is. And a gold digger, you know, it's basically how it sounds. You know what I'm saying? Just like Alicia said, they just there for the money. You know, they do what they can do to make sure they get that payout. You know, and the thing about it is, there are so many gold diggers. They don't make no sense. But see, somewhat is a little bit parallel to the last conversation piece about, you know, how people, you know, try to come up. You know, now, see, some people, like some of these gold diggers may say that, you know, they did what they had to do to come up, you know, maybe to support their family, you know, maybe to get where they need to be to make sure they're stable, you know?
Well, yeah, they got to, you know, they see a great opportunity to be with someone who would be able to take care of them financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they see the person. I mean, I guess it's a, both have, how can I say it? She's giving him what he wants and he giving her what she wants. But
I know, right?
But I noticed, like, with Tiger Woods and his ex-wife, Elin, I think he just thought of her as a trophy wife. Because as many mistresses when it came out that he had, it's like he had no, it's to me that he had no really respect for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just a lot of mistresses. So
I
think she was the ultimate trophy wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when she realized that she was a trophy wife, that's when she took actions in her own hands and said, I'm gonna have to file a divorce on him. Because she went into it, I'm feeling she went into it because she cared and loved about him, and that's what we hope. Or she could have went in it because she saw that this man had a lot of money. I mean, Tiger was close to $1 billion.
Mm.
I mean, his brand alone is over $1 billion. You know, so, you know, when she realized what she was dealing with, here
about
for divorce, and you really can't blame her.
Mm-mm. You really can't.
You know?
Because Tiger, I mean, you know, I remember that story, he just went, just like you said, it was like he just saw her as a trophy wife because he didn't. It's like he didn't need her for. I mean,
he didn't need her
to cheat. That enormously is insane. I mean,
it was.
Them girls, they were like apples falling out of a tree. They just kept falling.
And Carla, and he had to tell, he was, I think it was Thanksgiving, he said, look, if my wife called, because she had got the phone and told him, hey, you know, she must have been going through his phone number,
his phone,
and saw them numbers, and he had to tell one mistress, hey, if my wife called, you know, tell her, you know, you don't know me. I can't remember exactly what he had told the mistress, but she was the ultimate trophy wife. I really think that what Chad, Ochocinco, and Evelyn, I think she's a trophy wife. What you think about that?
Yeah, I think she's a trophy wife. I mean, you know, I think to a lot of these athletes, I think that, you know, they look at their wives as just trophy wives. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just look at it as, you know, I got her or whatever. But you know, they don't respect them. And it just... Blows me away of how, you know what I'm saying, just because the athletes, you know, the famous, the popular. Well, I mean, my thing is, why do you marry? That's what I don't get. Like, because, you know what I'm saying, like, if you're an athlete, why would you get married if you already know, you know, you have girls everywhere, and you already know you can't control your sexual needs or whatever. Like, why get married? You know what I'm saying? I guess, like we're saying, to say, oh, you know, I got me a trophy wife, you know, I got her, you know, to have somebody to go home to, you know what I'm saying, to lay with, but then while you out on the road, you laying with everybody else.
Exactly. Well, see, what it is, they're on the road and, you know, they're, I guess what you say, tempted. And they have all these women coming at them, pulling their underwear off, doing all kinds of stuff, throwing it at them. So, and these trophy wives and gold diggers, they were doing the same thing. They were just fortunate enough that the person that he took them along and married them. Me, as far as a gold digger and a trophy wife, I kind of think that they're one and the same. What you think?
I really do. I think the trophy wife was the gold digger, but she's just
right.
The one that got picked. Yeah, she's the one that got picked to be the wife.
Right. That's exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then you have them on Unsung or some of these Behind the Music. I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was like that. You knew he was like that because you knew he had money and you was acting a certain way and you was just lucky that picked you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
I'm not condoning. Fornication or adultery, but you know, if you're into that situation, if you're like a gold digger and you're just seeking a man for what he can bring to the table and it's not true love, then you know you're no better off than these women on the road that's throwing underwear. Don't be surprised if you catch them cheap.
Okay, and now you know what? Now, Alicia, now you probably gonna call me crazy. Now, see, now in a situation like this, even though it's wrong, I don't condone it. But however, like this,
mm-hmm.
this situation, like it doesn't really rouse me up that much as like this stripper thing
mm-hmm.
did, because see, for one thing, like I feel like men, they get what they deserve. You know what I'm saying? This
mm-hmm.
is like Tiger Woods. Just like Tiger Woods, you know, what he did to his wife, he deserved to be drained. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of these men, you know, they just use women on a daily basis for sex, for basically for sex, really, you know. So I feel like, you know, if, you know what I'm saying, if a woman go after their pockets, then, I mean, you know, I feel like these men put themselves in that situation for thinking with the wrong thing, you know. If you think logically, you could see what these women are all about, but see, you let them flash this and throw draws this, and then you think it's so cute and you tempted by every little thing, then you know what I'm saying? Whatever happened to you, I mean, hey, you fell into the lion's den, put it that way. You know what? Hold your thought. We're going to take another break. When we get back, we'll actually, I don't know if Alicia, if you have any, but if you do, we're going to list some celebrity gold diggers and celebrity trophy wives. So that's coming up next after the break. You don't want to miss some of the names that's on this list, okay? You keep it real hard pressed with us, y'all. You are still keeping the real fresh with your boy Z Fly and author Alicia Perry. We're still keeping it hot because we're keeping it locked. All right, y'all. So right now we are definitely in a conversation piece. And if you do want to call in, and give any comments, 646-200-3136 is the number to call in. Again, that's 646-200-3136. And right now, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about trophy wives versus gold diggers. Is it one and the same? And actually, what we're going to do is I actually got some celebrity gold diggers and some celebrity trophy wives that I actually want to So, Alicia, who should I start with? Should I start with the trophy wives or the gold diggers first?
You make it juicy. Start with them gold diggers.
Oh, all right, then.
Dig it for gold.
All right, well, our first gold digger on the list is, I don't know if y'all remember, but Heather Mills. Now, she was the one-legged ex-wife of former Beatle Paul McCartney. Now, I guess in her defense, she wasn't broke. But, you know, she did have some things going on back in the 80s, you know, since she started her own modeling agency and, you know, she was a model. But, however, she didn't really get rich until her and Paul McCartney split. And when they split, she made off with $50 million of his money. But that won't nothing to her because what she really wanted, $250 million.
Yeah. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Sister girl,
oh,
no,
yeah.
But you know what? She know better. She knows she did not help him write them songs. She knows she went on stage doing the Beatles with the drums, the guitar. Paul McCartney is an icon. For her to get that kind of money, no girlfriend, no.
Okay. Now, number two. Now, as y'all know that all, now y'all know that all these girls are gold diggers. Now y'all know Hugh Hefner's girlfriend. I remember he had a show that was called The Girls Next Door, and it was starring Holly Madison, Bridget Marquand, and Kendra Wilkinson. And basically, you know, they were introduced as like his three girlfriends. As y'all know, Hugh Hefner is the Playboy Mansion, you know, tycoon. And as y'all know, that man is old as dirt. And them young girls are gold diggers. So y'all know, y'all know that they do not want that old man. He got all them playboys. Oh.
He might be old, but Viagra made him young. But go ahead.
You know what?
He might be young, but Viagra made him young again.
Well, all I know is now. Look, now I know. Okay, I'll be nice. Okay, I don't know if them girls liked him, but I tell you one thing: if they didn't like him, here's what they got from him. They got you know, since their show, their careers has been a lot successful. They have solo careers with spinoff shows. They got book deals, and they have endorsements. That's what they got. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go digging that gold. You know that
number,
mining light that
you know that they had with that light on,
going through the tunnels.
Nice. Exactly. Okay. Now number three on the gold digging list is Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa Lane. Now, if y'all remember back, yeah. Now listen, now back in the day, I remember she was 17 years old. You know, so whenever, you know, when she met Kobe Bryant. Now, even though she hadn't graduated from high school yet, you know, she decided to marry Kobe. And in a classic gold digger form, what did she do? She dropped out of school to lock him down. That's what she did. Y'all remember the story.
But you know what, Z-Fly? She was a video girl, okay?
See?
She started out on a Suge Knight video set.
Uh-huh.
So he was introduced to Kobe.
Okay, I'll give her that, but guess what? But here's what I won't give her. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? She might have been introduced to Kobe, but you remember back in 2003, whenever he was supposedly with that Colorado girl, she stood by his side, and then what did she get out of it? She got that $4 million diamond ring.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? That's what she got out of it. She wasn't stupid.
Not only did she get the $4 million ring, she still got it. She also is getting a lot of Kobe's money. Okay?
$100 million.
How much was it? $100 million she got?
$100 million, uh-huh.
She really struck gold.
Okay. Hold on. Let me read a little bit more. Okay, now look. Now, if y'all think only girls are gold diggers, y'all gotta think again, because y'all remember Kevin Federline, don't you? The backup dancer for Britney Spears. Well, yeah. Well, y'all remember he used to be married to Shara Jackson, the girl for Moesha, Brandy Show. Well, anyway, whenever he saw a romantic opportunity with Britney Spears, he quickly dumped Shara. You know, so he got Britney. Yeah, he got Britney pregnant. He got Britney pregnant. He got they get married and all this kind of stuff. And then, when Britney started having her breakdowns and stuff, they found Britney. She wasn't, you know, a fit mother. So they gave custody to Kevin, and he got $20,000 a month in child support. Yeah, that's what he got.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then had custody of the kids for a while.
Okay.
So you know what, like we talking about gold diggers and trophy wives, you're right. Men can be it too, because you know it's a lot of men out there who's searching for women to take care of them. Like, you got women out here searching for men to take care of them, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
So.
Okay, so now real quick, let me talk about some trophy-wise. Now, here are some of the top celebrity trophy-wise. Now, now, as y'all know y'all girl out there, Coco, you know, Coco married to rapper and actor Ice-T.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They said Coco, she's the perfect trophy-wise. They said because nothing makes her happier than showing off her bits, earning her nickname, which is Coco the Camel Toe. And then also, as y'all know, yeah, as y'all know, Ice-T, you know, he wastes no time pimping out his wife's parts every chance he gets. So,
but you
I
know
guess
what?
He
let, me talk, let me say about Coco. One thing I can say, yeah, she's a trophy wife. She's beautiful. On the other hand, she about her business. Okay,
uh-huh.
She has a business side about her. So
uh-huh.
I guess her props is not just dependent on his money and his fame. She also, you know, has her own lines out, clothing lines. She's doing the modeling thing. So she's doing her thing, too, besides being his wife, you know.
So she
making a name for herself. So big ass
yeah.
is Coco.
Yeah, she's doing her thing. All right, number two, we're going to talk about Melania Trump. Now, who that is, that's Donald Trump's president wife at the moment. Now, as y'all know, now, after being taken to the cleaners by his first wife, who was Ivana, I think that's her name, Ivana. You know, he made sure, yeah, Ivana Trump, he made sure that he got some ironclad prenups in place. Now, even though, yeah. Now, even though he got prenups in place, I can't even say her name, his cousin wife, put it away. You know, she's still doing her thing because, you know, she was a model and she was an ice princess, you know, and right now she's his latest acquisition until probably she get a little old. And then, you know how Donald Trump is. He likes them young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let's see, and I'm going to say about two more. And then, as y'all know, now, actually, I don't see her as a trophy wife, because she was doing that Victoria Beckham Posh Spice.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah,
Posh. Now, as y'all know, she was doing her thing long before David Beckham. She was in the Spice Girls, and y'all know they're very popular. You know, right now,
Top-selling female group.
Yeah.
Top-selling female group of all time.
You better believe it. And then also, even right now, you know, Victoria, she has her own clothing line, you know, and she has a lot of stuff that's going on. So, I mean, you know, I guess she could be looked at as a trophy wife, but I don't think she was ever a gold digger, you know.
I don't think she was a gold digger. She more, yeah, like you said, a trophy wife. She eye candy, you know, on his arm, and she supports him a lot. I'm just mad at Sister Girl. How's Sister Girl maintaining that shape?
Okay.
I mean, how many kids she got? Like 5 kids, and she's a size 1 or 0. What's up with that?
Exactly. She's like size 4. She has 4 kids,
right.
And yeah, she's like a size 0. They say allegedly that all that she eats is nuts and berries and fish. So you know,
I heard the same thing. I heard that she went to a restaurant and just ordered a bowl of lettuce. So I guess you got to. Yeah, that's it. No dressing. They said, well, ma'am, would you like any dressing with that? No, I just won't let it. Well, ma'am, this salad is $250 salad. You go down to a local store, get a head of lettuce, and have some take with you. But, you know, I guess it costs to be maintained. You know, you're a trophy wife. It costs to maintain your look.
It really is. And then also, coming in last for the trophy wife, let's see, Alicia, should I do Katie Holmes or should I do Catherine Zeta-Jones? Which one should I do?
Catherine Zeta-Jones, because Miss Katie Holmes, I'm going to be honest, I don't think she a trophy wife. I think that she really, really, truly loved Tom Cruise. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I think that she truly loved him, and I think he truly loved her, but I think it was some kind of control issue with that whole situation.
Yeah.
But I do wish him the best on, you know, because right now it's a tricky divorce, it's a crazy divorce going on, so
uh-huh.
we hope
exactly.
they can get through that.
All right, so we're going to do Catherine Zeta-Jones. So if y'all remember now, Catherine Zeta-Jones and her husband, Michael Douglas, you know, they met back in 1998, you know, of the set of their film Traffic, if y'all remember that. Now, basically, I mean, it was really easy for Michael to get Catherine. All he had to do was tell her that he wanted to father her children. And, you know, she was basically, like, she fell for that line. And, well, y'all see what happened, because she got his children, don't she? And not only that, I don't know if y'all know, but they got a 25-year age difference. Yes, they do, too. I put that out there. Yeah, 25
years.
That's a
age gap. It sure is. That's a... You know, that's daddy.
Okay. But you know, he sure is daddy, because he's something.
But they still married though, so maybe
they still married. They still married.
You know, maybe something that she's throwing him besides his money. Who knows what's going on? I mean, that's a big
age. Right. Well, everybody, that is some conversation pieces for you. We definitely thank everybody for tuning in. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to let everybody know about this West Nile virus real quick before we leave, because it's killing folks. Okay, so as y'all know, the West Nile virus has become a major problem in many states this summer. Now, if y'all don't know, Dallas County in Texas has restored an aerial spraying for mosquitoes for the first time. And now this has been 50 years, everybody. 50 years
wow.
to combat the virus. Yeah, that has caused over a dozen deaths from the disease. Now, so far, you know, they have had a lot of serious outbreaks in states such as Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Dakota. Now, there's a few moderate outbreaks in Arkansas, Kansas, and North Dakota. So if you are in those states, definitely be aware of those mosquitoes. Stay inside. Make sure, you know what I'm saying, I think they said go buy some type of stuff. Like if you have somebody who sells Avon in your area, they have Yeah, skin so soft. Yeah, there's some kind of mosquito repellent that they don't like it. Make sure you buy it. So just buy it in bulk, because mosquitoes are killing people.
Well,
I'm lying.
You're right. And you know what? Forgive me for laughing, but Z-Fly is right.
Yes.
Skin so soft, that bug repellent, because that West Nile virus ain't nothing to play with, though.
And real quick, and then also I want to give you some symptoms. Now, some of the symptoms, now about 80 out of 100 people who have the West Nile, they have no symptoms. Now, however, there are symptoms. Now, when the symptoms do appear, you know, they begin about 3 to 14 days after the mosquito bite. And here's some of the symptoms. You may get a fever. You may get headaches, body aches, or pain in your eyes, a rash usually on your chest, back, or arms. You start feeling very tired, you're not feeling hungry, you're feeling sick to your stomach or throwing up, and your glands or lymph nodes are swollen in rare cases. So those are some of the symptoms.
That sounds like a hangover.
Oh, you so stupid.
Don't get it mixed up, America, with a hangover.
Okay. And then also too, some of these symptoms they last up to 3 to 6 days. You know, now if you get a severe case of West Nile, symptoms can last for weeks or months. Severe cases, you know, they may involve, you know, stuff like a long headache, a high fever, a stiff neck, or paralysis. You may become, you know, it'll give you confusion. Yeah, you won't know who you are or what day it is. You know what I'm saying? You might go into a coma. So yes, as y'all can see, this is serious. So y'all, like I said, buy the stuff in bulk. The skin so soft from Avon. You know, you might can find it somewhere else too. Skin so soft, mosquito repellent. Make sure you get it, because these mosquitoes are killing people, and that's all I gotta say about that. So everybody, just take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself, man. And you know what, Z-Fly, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Y'all take care of yourself. Don't take stuff like that lightly. If there's an epidemic, take care of yourself. Come on.
Exactly.
You don't really take care of you. Also, I do want, before we end the show, I want to put, let's pray. We definitely have to pray, because Isaac is going to make landfall. And their sand is went through the Keys. It's on its way. And I'm talking about Hurricane Isaac. It has turned into a hurricane. They said it is going up towards New Orleans.
Oh, Lord.
You remember what happened in 2005, ladies and gentlemen. So come on, y'all. Let's pray that, you know, not the same destruction, of what happened with Katrina. We're going to keep everybody in the path of in that storm in our prayers, y'all. So y'all keep looking at the news. Keep people in prayers for Hurricane Isaac.
Exactly. So definitely, you know, like she said, listen to the weatherman and just keep, you know, keep it locked to what's going on with Isaac. We definitely want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Be sure to tune in next week, because next week, I believe it's September 2nd next week, and that's actually the anniversary of this show. The show will be 4 years old, so we're going to have a big anniversary show. We plan to have a lot of fun things for you all, so definitely be sure to tune in next week for the anniversary show.
Yes.
We thank you all for tuning in to the Keeping It Rotten show for 4 long years. I can't believe it's in 4 years. We're still young, as you know. Whenever, you know, we still got so much more to come, you know, in future years. But we're still only 4 years old, still young. So definitely thank everybody, all the listeners, everybody who tunes in and comment and everything. Just thank you so much for it. Also, be sure to hit us up on Twitter, at Real Hot Fresh. And also, you can hit me up on Facebook. Facebook.com/RealHotFresh. Okay? But right now, we're going to close this show out with some 10 ways you know you'll get to. And like I said, next week, we are having a party because we are turning 4 years old, y'all. And once again, I also want to thank my co-host, author Alisa Perry. All right. Okay, so here we go, y'all. 10 ways you know you ghetto. Number 10, you know you ghetto if you have more shoes than you have books, okay? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you might not know about the Declaration of Independence. However, you do know when those new Jordans coming out.
Okay, them Jordans with the red bottoms.
You know what I'm saying? Number 9. You know, if you open up your Yolanda Adams CD case and it has Lil Wayne CD in the inside, you might be a little bit ghetto.
Yeah, I think you get, honey. Will you put the right CD in the case?
Okay.
I'm trying to hear some spiritual music.
Oh, basically,
not no
number
lollipop.
Number 8. If you ever been in a fight over your baby daddy, ghetto. That's all I got to say.
You better not talk about my baby daddy. Yeah, he 10 years behind on child support, but don't you talk about him. He's crying. He trying.
Okay, I mean, they will die over the baby daddy, and the baby daddy is over the cheating the whole time. You taking up for him. Are you for real? Number 7, if you have ever thought that drinking coffee would make you black, you might be silly or ghetto.
Honey, let me tell you, don't put no sugar in your coffee, okay? Because it'll make you blacker.
Number 6, if you're ever at a funeral and someone tries to crawl in the casket, you know you probably had a ghetto funeral.
I'm going to Uncle Johnny. I'm going to the
early
gates with you, Uncle Johnny.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, you got a little girl. You know what I'm saying? And then look.
Look, the funeral carpet, the little funeral director say, yeah, you go over with Uncle Johnny. You hurry up and get your, because I got another funeral too. You get ready to be in there with Uncle Johnny, because I'm getting ready to close, because we got to go to the next. We got another funeral to do.
Okay, come on.
You know they didn't have to do Johnny like that.
I'm going to watch them climb out so fast. Number 5, you know you ghetto if you're the one taking pictures of the person in the casket. Okay, what is going to be? I mean, what is going to be paparazzi? Number 4. If you had ever played red light, green light, you might be ghetto. I guess I'm ghetto then. Because I sure did play red light, green light, Mother May. I paid all that, yeah. Okay. Number 3. You know you ghetto if you had ever jumped off the roof on your Terry mattress. Now, you know what I'm talking about. number two, if you pay more for your child's shoes than you do for their daycare, you might be careful.
Oh, honey, ma'am, I can't afford. Well, yo, what he got on some Christian deal?
Hello. And Arisa, look, they got that child going to daycare in the pure ghetto.
I mean, ghetto. Bring them oohs and oohs and make sure you get that hot water with that ketchup. He likes that. Make him a tomato soup.
Okay. And number one, if you have ever been beaten with an extension cord, a fly swatter, or a flip flop, you might be ghetto, or your mama ghetto,
you
whoever.
Ghetto. Mama ain't playing. I don't care. Mommy dearest, I'm gonna tear you up with this extension cord, and then I'm put it so I can ask so we get to church.
Okay, Lord have mercy. All right, y'all. Keep it locked this week, and we are definitely gonna keep it hot, and we're gonna keep it real hot and fresh. We out of here. Peace.
Peace out.